Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your host from SteelersDepot.com, where you can find all your latest and greatest Steelers news. It's Dave Bryan and Alex Cazora, always Lynn, talking Steelers. And now, here's Dave and Alex.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, Season 14, Episode number 99. He's Dave Bryan. I'm Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com. Happy legal tampering period to all those who celebrate. That'll start noon Eastern time on Monday when teams in pending free agents can come to unofficial agreements with each other, can officially make those signings happen on Wednesday as the new league year kicks off. But Dave, the big news in Pittsburgh breaking late on Sunday night is let's ride, let's forge, let's meld, whatever it's called. Russell Wilson is coming to Pittsburgh. Cannot be made official until Wednesday when the Broncos release him, but Wilson is coming to Pittsburgh on a one-year deal for the veteran minimum.
Yeah, what a way to kick off the start of the new league year here. And at 1.21 million dollars at that, obviously the deal can be for the minimum because of the fact that the Denver Broncos are on the hook for, what was it, something like $39 million with him as part of his, the remaining part of his contract. A lot of people already know that they have something like, what was it, $85 million in dead money associated with that deal, and he will not be released until right after the start of the new league year. And obviously Russell Wilson went to Pittsburgh on Friday, had, what did they say, 6-hour meetings, something like that, with the Steelers, with Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, and various other I guess people around the organization there. And Mike Tomlin evidently did a good sales job on that. I kind of wondered if we would wait to get Russell Wilson's final decision until maybe after he was officially released to the by the Broncos. But word trickled out, I don't know what, around midnight, I guess, on Sunday night Eastern time. And he even posted to his Twitter account and everything. So it's just a matter of putting a name on the contract at this point, and we'll have to wait and see when the press conference is with him, probably Thursday or Friday, I would think, something along those lines. But that's where we're at on this one-year deal. It was interesting to hear Tom Pelissero kind of recap some of the negotiations there too, right?
Yeah, waking up to the news on the contractual side of things, we knew as of last night it was going to be for the minimum, you know, salary. But Wilson was initially trying to angle for a big time player option in 2025. What that number was, I'm not clear. Well, maybe you have information that I missed, but no takers from anybody, including Pittsburgh. So he'll just play on a 1-year deal, and with the offset language, you know, Denver will pay almost, you know, $40 million. Well, Pittsburgh will just pay out that minimum level base salary overall. So that's the contractual side of things. Wilson, listen, we talked on Friday, you know, I was probably hedging some, but you had the feeling if he's in the building in Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin's going to close him, because that's what Mike Tomlin does. And Wilson
always, you know, be closing, right?
The ABCs. He gets what was the prize? Wasn't the steak knives? Is it the car? Is that big prize?
I don't remember.
You don't remember, Dave? You're the movie guy.
I watched that movie. I didn't like it. I didn't find it as enthralling as you did. That's for sure. Neither right. Did my wife.
Anyway, but yeah, Pittsburgh offered the two things that Wilson wanted. You know, opportunity to win, not a rebuilding team. We're going to win 5 games in 2024 and play out your career that way. You know, Pittsburgh's a much better situation than that, and the opportunity to start. And I know already the framing is, we talked about this Friday, it's going to get framed and couched as competition, Russell Wilson versus Kenny Pickett. And Pittsburgh will, I'm confident, maintain that status throughout the summer until right before week 1. But Russell Wilson did not sign on a Sunday night of around midnight to be the backup in Pittsburgh. And as we discussed on Friday, they may call competition. I promise you, Wilson is very, very confident he's going to become the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, regardless of what they told him. And I know Albert Breer this morning has something. What did Albert Breer post this morning? Something along the lines of 1-year deal signing Russell Wilson as expected at the league minimum. Pittsburgh was very clear setting expectations with Wilson on his visit. He knows what it is. He'll come in and compete. The salaries obviously stack up with I guess technically Kenny Pickett being the more expensive of the two. Let me pull up my sheet here real quick and see if I can get this. Kenny Pickett is scheduled to earn. No, actually, Russell Wilson will still have the higher salary here. Kenny Pickett scheduled to earn $985,000 as a base. Well, there is the roster bonus, I guess, in there as well for Kenny Pickett. So what is that? $998,900 technically roster bonus here. So I guess it would be Kenny Pickett along the lines of what, 1.9 or something million versus Russell Wilson in the 1.21 million there. So I guess technically if they wanted to, you know, keep an alignment as far as salary goes, there's at least that pecking order there. But man, it to me, it would be a major upset as we sit here in March if Kenny Pickett is the week one starter. And I'm sure you agree.
I do. And yeah, I said that Friday, you know, this is going to play out the way that I talked about it. They're going to call competition, and certainly the minimum salary offers something towards that, where Pittsburgh may not feel financially obligated to start Wilson, but Wilson is a better quarterback right now than Kenny Pickett, brought in for a reason. He's coming here for a reason. And you know what Pittsburgh is looking for, I think, is to win a playoff game. They need to do that. You feel the angst, you feel the weight of the drought, no postseason victory since 2016. That has to change. You really kind of, you know, can't continue this streak longer than what it's gone on for right now. So you know, how that competition will work itself out and look in training camp, I don't know. That's all down the road type of conversation. But again, I'm very confident, as I'm sure Wilson is, that he's going to be, you know, not holding a clipboard come that week one opener.
Yeah, it will look Kenny Pickett, look, they've said that they're going to bring in competition, and competition breeds what Cameron Hayward said, breeds greatness along those lines there. And they will do everything in their power to try to kind of frame it as a competition. I will say this, excuse me, if Russell Wilson can't beat out Kenny Pickett, boy, you have to really wonder where he's at in his career at this point. Either that or, boy, it'll be one hell of an improvement over the summer for Kenny Pickett there. So, once again, anything can happen. We've seen stranger things happen, I guess, around the NFL, especially when you've got an older quarterback such as Russell Wilson. But It doesn't seem like football justice is going to play into Kenny Pickett's favor here.
Right. And that's the other, you know, half of this news right now is A, Wilson signing to Pittsburgh, but B, what does that mean about Kenny Pickett's future and his fate and status as the Pittsburgh Steelers perceived and potential franchise quarterback? And assuming that Wilson does start week one, which I think is a very safe bet right now, of course, barring injury, to me, the chapter of Kenny Pickett as Pittsburgh Steelers franchise quarterback is essentially closed. If he's going to sit on the bench for most, if not the entire 2024 season with a fifth-year option due, of course, they would decline that if Pickett does not play. This was supposed to be the year of Kenny Pickett, and the entire offseason, the framing was, we're confident in him, we want to add competition, but you know, with a new OC, essentially we want to see how Pickett looks, and only way to evaluate him is to play him. And if he's riding the bench as the backup, throwing 50 passes in the season, there's no evaluation to be had. So to me, this is the beginning of the end of the Kenny Pickett era in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, look, you're not going to pick up the fifth-year option on him without him earning every penny of it. And it certainly seems that barring him getting a lot of playing time in 2024 and then playing well on top of it, there's no way you're going to pick up that fifth-year option this time next year. And with Russell Wilson on a 1 year, you know, what are your options with Russell Wilson moving forward? He plays well or extremely well, gets you to where you want to be, and, you know, maybe wins a playoff game or two. And then at that point, you know, you have to decide, do you want to franchise him? Do you want to, you know, sign him to a long-term deal and try to get a couple more years out of him? Feels, however, like we're going to be talking quarterback draft class next offseason.
Oh, yeah, that was one of my first thoughts. I know that's 2025 is, you know, forever away, and we're just focused on the here and now in the 2024 season. But one of my first thoughts is, okay, no idea who the quarterback is for 2025. No idea who that long-term option is. Who is that future guy that can compete with the best of the best in the AFC? And you don't have even a remotely decent answer to that question, or suggestion even to who that name may be, you're in, I think, a precarious place as a franchise. But that is, I guess, down the road. My overall thought, and just again, big picture off the top, is we're going to go through the season with Wilson and say, yeah, it was better than Kenny Pickett. Yeah, they won a playoff game, but it wasn't good enough. It's not going to make them a Super Bowl contender. So now what? I think now what is going to be the question after the 2024 season.
Look, you got to get through this season first, though, and you know, obviously, it's too far to look ahead. As you know, when it comes to maybe what other free agent quarterbacks might be out there, you know, we're talking a year from now in the legal tampering period and all like that. But this team will indeed, you know, once again, you know, say that they're trying to win it all this year. And look, it would be a major FU for what Russell Wilson, and really the Steelers for that matter, to go out and get a 30-something, you know, a quarterback in his mid-30s, sign him to a 1 year deal for the minimum, and then go on to make a any kind of noise in the playoffs. But to even get to the playoffs, you know, or to make a long run in playoffs, you got to get into the tournament. You've got to have, you know, what does all this boil back down to coming out of last season? You've got to get better play out of the quarterback position if for the Steelers some way, somehow, and then, you know, go from there. And you can't do anything without getting into the tournament. So obviously that'll be the main goal, get in the tournament, see what happens from there. But this team absolutely has got to get a better play out of their quarterback position. They were down to one quarterback under contract, and you knew they had to do something here. Now look, there's going to be people on probably three sides of this edition of Russell Wilson. And the options were very limited overall of how you're going to address this room this offseason and then have the at least potential to give yourself a chance to improve the room. You know, were you going to go out and spend, you know, mega bucks on a guy like Kirk Cousins? Were you going to trade for a guy like Justin Fields? Were you going to go out and sign a guy like Russell Wilson for the minimum? And you got, you know, kudos to them for at least not letting this thing stand still. They have at least attempting to throw some mud on the wall here, and that mud name belongs to Russell Wilson right now.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree a bit. I think they had plenty of options to address quarterback. They could have gone the trade route with Justin Fields. They could have gone with the low budget, quote unquote, because of the, you know, contractual situation with Wilson, as they did. They could have gone with the big money free agent option and Kirk Cousins. They could go through the draft, which was one of the strongest draft classes we've seen in the last decade or so. They could have gone with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph, or veteran equivalent of Tannehill. So I think they had a lot of moves on the table. I mean, Wilson, like I said, Friday did provide that unique opportunity of that. You know,
who would you have rather had though? Wilson or Tannehill or Mason Rudolph?
My contention has been and will continue to be is they will have to draft a quarterback. The teams that Super Bowl contend, they draft the quarterback. They are homegrown kids. And yes, I know Pittsburgh will, as I said Friday, rarely pick in the top, you know, five or never basically pick in the top five, but you can still, the franchise quarterbacks are beyond the top five. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, et cetera. So at some point, to actually contend for a Super Bowl, which is Pittsburgh's ultimate goal, they will have to draft a quarterback. And I am always in favor of doing that sooner than later.
Okay. All right. So even if you draft let's say you drafted a quarterback, do you think you'd still be able to compete in that quarterback's rookie season for a Super Bowl? Because once again, this team always, whether we think it will, you know, they'll be able to do it or not, they always proclaim going into every season, we're trying to win the Super Bowl.
But with Wilson, do you think they're contending for a Super Bowl with the addition of him?
I mean, I think they have a better shot than they do with Kenny Pickett. And when it push comes to shove, do I think they're winning the Super Bowl in 2024? No.
Right, I agree. So rookie quarterback or Russell Wilson, I'll take the rookie quarterback that may get me there in a year or two if I hit that one right. Wilson is not going to get me there this year. Don't even know he'll be a Steeler in 2025, not under contract. And so I think the rookie at least gives you a path where that may happen with Wilson. You know, anything's possible. I think they can. My stance Friday was they can win a playoff game with Wilson, which has been the obstacle they have not been able to get over the last 7 years. Can they go further than that? You know, barring a great run of health or something, I don't think so. I think this move gets them over that initial hump, but not to the ultimate goal.
My contention is at least they're doing something here other than, you know, standing pat with Kenny Pickett. At least, look, it's not a huge upgrade, but at least you got a guy with some experience in there, a guy that can still move, overall, a guy that's, you know, good in the red zone. And you see where it goes from there. They have a better shot with Russell Wilson than they do Kenny Pickett.
Sure, I agree. I just don't want the bar to be get something better than Kenny Pickett and then just kind of like that's it, because that is to me a, based on where he's at right now, a pretty low bar.
But what I'm talking about is at least for 2024. Now, yeah, you can say that. Well, they should or could potentially do both. In other words, address it with a 1 year veteran for the minimum for Russell Wilson, and then go into the draft and maybe try to trade up or whatever. But we all know too, they've got a lot of holes on this roster to fill, and the only way they're going to get a top three quarterback in this year's draft is probably trade into the top, what, five, six spots?
Well, again, it's a really deep quarterback class. I don't think they're going to go – they wouldn't be able to get the top three guys, but there's five or six quarterbacks that are going to be first-round picks in this class.
Okay, so you'd be fine with them taking a quarterback at 20th overall?
If that was their guy, sure. Because, I mean, yeah, you have a lot of holes, but if you get a franchise quarterback, as C.J. Stroud showed last year, you get a franchise quarterback, the other holes suddenly start to look less of an issue.
Okay, so your contention is if they didn't trade up at this point, then take whatever the best remaining quarterback is on the board at 20.
I mean, you would have to – well, no, I probably would have to trade up. I mean, I don't want to get too bogged down. And my point is that they're going to have – to become a Super Bowl contender, they will have to draft another quarterback. And that guy may not work. They may have me pick a 2.0 situation. But that to the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl, which is always their goal, they will have to do that, I think, by drafting a quarterback. But Wilson does, I think, advance them a step further from where they've been, which is compete, be in the hunt, sneak into the playoffs, get bounced in the wild card round. I think Wilson, if he can maintain a similar level of play as 2023, Wilson can get them a postseason victory.
Okay. All right. I see where you're going.
I turned on the tape of Wilson last night, and I put on two games so far. I got a bunch more to go through, obviously. Red zone play, as you said, effective. I mean, it does... In some ways, it feels like a good scheme fit because I saw a lot of play action. It's, you know, the rate of play action was higher than what, you know, they had last year in Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett. Ability to extend the play, keep his eyes downfield. You know, that was all positive. I think he did a great job, but of course, being a veteran that he is, knowing where his hot's at and hitting his check down and beating the blitz, where, you know, Pickett, a younger quarterback, predictably had more issues. Do you have any initial thoughts on scheme fit and just his overall tape and play?
Well, good luck trying to take the Russell Wilson out of Russell Wilson, but they need to try their best to do that. They've got to try to get him to be a quicker read quarterback, at least to me, with what we expect to see out of the Arthur Smith offense, to try to get him to play in structure as much as humanly possible here. And look, if you get in situations where you don't have a running game or you fall behind more than a couple of scores in your situation where Russell Wilson's having to drop back 40 something times in a game and improvise and make plays, that's probably not going to bode very well. Without a doubt, this isn't a secret. They're going to try to go heavy personnel, build this thing around a running game, hopefully a lot more play action and under center type stuff. I don't know if you saw the NFL Live segment the other day with Orlovsky and Clark and the panel up there and all talking about, man, you know, how effective under center and play action is. That's got to be an element of this. That's obviously something we haven't seen in Pittsburgh for quite a while. But long story short, they've got to try to get Russell Wilson to play within structure as much as humanly possible and within the scheme that Arthur Smith has in his head, I think, for this thing to work, obviously surrounded by a good running game. If they can do that, and then if Russell Wilson can get this ball out more in a more timely fashion, if he can stay away from the turnovers, you know, look, I think one of the big things to kind of hang your hat on at the very least or look forward to when it comes to Russell Wilson is his passing ability within the red zone, especially the last two years there. This is something that Kenny Pickett obviously wasn't able to do. One of the several things he wasn't able to do was the ability to bury the football via the air in the red zone. I think at least at a minimum, you get that. Now, what happens between the 20s, is yet to be seen there. But this is also a guy in Russell Wilson had a lot of short passes last season, a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage. You've just got and another thing that bears out his passing charts and on his tape is he's going to have to attack the middle of the field a little bit more on top of it there. Once again, you've got a guy that's experienced, but you've also got a guy that's got a lot of things that he's done for a long time. That's going to be tough to get out of him there, but there's a lot of ifs buried within there. But if he can at least become a more of a quarterback to play in structure, and if Arthur Smith does things right, within utilizing the positive with Russell Wilson, once again, I expect to see under center stuff, play action stuff. That's where you're going to see the benefits, I think, of Russell Wilson.
I agree. I think in terms of where the scheme fit aligns, as you mentioned, a lot of work under center Wilson had, last year with Sean Payton in Denver, a lot of play action. We expect Arthur Smith to, one of the most, I think, notable differences you'll see in Smith's offense this year, is going to be an increased rate of play action. And I think Wilson is comfortable and apt at that. But as you said, you didn't see a lot of play action over the middle, and that's kind of a big component of Smith's play pass game. And that'll be, I think, one of the most interesting numbers and things to watch, because that isn't his skill set. For Wilson, a lot of the play action was either the max protect vertical shot on a two-man route, post in a corner or something like that, or moving the launch point, boot action, which will be very much a part of Smith's offense as well. And that'll certainly mesh, I think, together, but a lot of boot action combined with kind of the deep, play pass, take a shot downfield, less so with the glance routes and the intermediate digs, which is more of what you'll see under Arthur Smith. So that'll be interesting. I think protecting Wilson will be important. Been sacked 100 times the last 2 years. Last year, his snap to throw time was the third longest in football at about 3 seconds, just a touch over. And some of that's, I think, mostly on him, because he will. If you didn't like the whole Kenny Pickett spinning and bailing on clean pockets, you're going to have some frustration with Russell Wilson, because he has a tendency to still do the same, because in some regard, he still thinks he's 25-year-old Russell Wilson that can make those plays. His legs, you know, no longer can make to that degree. He can still run and he can still scramble. That'll be an element of it. Had 3 rushing touchdowns last year and over 300 yards rushing, but he will make some negative plays that will frustrate you. But hopefully there'll be some better kind of normalized baseline production of 25 touchdowns and fewer than 10 picks and a decent completion percentage that will help mitigate some of those frustrating moments.
Yeah, he'll try to play some of that hero ball that Mitch Trubisky plays at times too, you know. But he did limit his interceptions last year. Look, had you know, people say there's obviously a reason that he's out in Denver, right?
Yeah, and I made the point several times that, again, Denver thought he was such a bad quarterback, and there's a lot of layers to this, I know, but they thought he was such a bad quarterback, they took an $85 million dead money charge to cut him. They're paying him $40 million to not play for him, which says something about where they think his skills are currently at.
Right, and, you know, Sean Payton's got a good mind and, you know, probably tried to do a lot of the things that we just talked about with, you know, trying to take some of the Russell Wilson out of Russell Wilson. But also, again, some of what Russell Wilson being Russell Wilson is what's kind of made Russell Wilson. The thing is that he is getting older on top of it. So once again, it goes back to, you know, how much can you get him to play within structure? And when he doesn't play within structure, does it kill you?
That's a great point. My general vibe, and I'm still early in the tape watch, is for the first 15, the on-script stuff, Wilson, I think, is very much, you know, structured. Late in the game, it starts to get a little Picasso, a little freestyle, a little just, you know, run around and make something happen. And he can still do that to an extent. I think he did well in some of the two-minute end-to-half situations, but sometimes late in the game, he would press and make mistakes and you know, cause more problems than do more harm than good overall. So as you said, that'll be, I think, a very important thing. Can Wilson tweak his game enough to find a better balance and not create as much negativity?
Here's the thing. How many games did they win last year? They won 10 games with Kenny Pickett mostly starting at quarterback, you know, albeit, you know, kudos and hat tip to Mason Rudolph to coming in there and down the stretch and winning the games that they really needed to get to that 10 win mark. So, but even so, you're talking about getting that done with technically your number 3 quarterback on your roster, right? So, and was the defense perfect last year? No. They could have, they were good. They could have, they had their moments where they could have stood to been better there, but they still managed to, you know, say what you will, the fact that they won 10 games and got into the playoffs, especially where they were sitting there with coming out of those back-to-back, you know, ugly losses there to what, New England and Arizona, and really, you know, to the Colts for that matter, within that stretch there. Long story short, can they win games with Russell Wilson at quarterback? Yes.
Yes. Like I said, I think they can win a playoff game, which has been the hurdle they have been unable to get over for 7 years.
I mean, at its core, is this an awful move, especially when considering that they're getting him for the minimum? I mean, the risk is very, very low. It's just all about how you can manage it, and can you get whatever the best is remaining in Russell Wilson, can you get it out of him for one season?
That's a good framing. No, it's not an awful move. My concern, and maybe this is probably partially the perspective of somebody who's been spoiled by getting to watch Big Ben for most of his career, but I just always have this uneasy feeling when you don't have somebody you think is your long-term future at quarterback on the roster. Who is your franchise quarterback of the future? I don't think he's on the roster. It's not going to be Kenny Pickett. Wilson's on a 1-year deal. You know, we don't know where it's going to go beyond this year, but you can't bank on him obviously being a long-term guy. So who is that guy? I just always have that uneasy feeling of just kind of bouncing around and around and not quite sure what that plan is. I know it's hard to find a franchise quarterback. If it was as easy as I'm framing it, everyone would have one. And It's a long time between, you know, Bradshaw and Ben, for example. But I just know that's what Pittsburgh will ultimately need, and they don't currently have that.
Well, it kind of flashes you back to, what was it, 1986? When you have Mark Malone in like his third or fourth year, and the team went out and traded for David Woodley at the time. And I think, didn't Woodley start the season? And then Malone played, you know, some that season and all like that. And, you know, it was kind of a, you know, the quarterback purgatory period there, kind of the beginning of that post Bradshaw and Stout, right? So it does kind of hearken you back to then. But I understand the concern about, you know, what the franchise quarterback situation is, but we've got plenty of time to worry about that, right? I mean, the thing is we've got to focus on 2024, and this team's got to get over the hump. It's got to win a playoff game, but
sure.
You know, is that the new bumper sticker? Yay!
Hang the banner.
Yeah, we won the playoff game. And we got over that hump. I understand the way that you're coming from or where you're coming from here on this. But on the flip side, too, I think we do have to focus on 2024. And, you know, the coming out of last season, the thought was, man, this team's got to get better quarterback play. And what is that? How do they go about doing that with the limited options out there?
Well, again, I don't think it's limited. I think they had a million different ways they could have attacked the quarterback. You know, some of them might have been more aggressive than others. This is one of the most low risk, low investment type of moves they could have made. The question is, I won't use the phrase, you know, get what you pay for, because of the Broncos situation is pretty unique. Again, as I said Friday, there's a unique opportunity to get Wilson, because normally quarterbacks with his resume don't come for $1.2 million. It wasn't for the offset. If Wilson was a true free agent contractually, there was no offset, he's probably not a Steeler right now.
Right, right. I mean, look, I mean, it's on brand for what the Steelers try to do.
Yeah, and so I'm not mad at them for taking advantage of the opportunity to get somebody like that and seeing how it goes for a season. And if it doesn't work, then okay. I mean, 2025, you hit the reset button on the whole quarterback position, and we'll have the same debate in 2025, although probably a bit more focused on the NFL draft. One thing I will say for Wilson, just watching the tape last night, his arm still looks really good. I think his arm strength is still where it needs to be. He's throwing off platform. The deep ball looks solid overall. To me, that arm strength, even though he's, 36, 37, looks really, really good.
What did Dez Bryant post on Twitter last night? Not that Dez Bryant is the end all do all, but he says the Steelers just got better. Nobody has a beautiful spiral bomb better than Russell Wilson, and he gives his receivers a chance. He says, George Pickens, I'm drafting you this year on my fantasy team. So I think he still throws a nice ball. Once again, can he in order for him to push the football down the field, in the middle of the field, in the Arthur Smith offense, everything's going to have to be on time.
Sure. I think it will. And Wilson will have to tweak his game some. But hopefully, I mean, to be fair, the Broncos had the run game last year. And if Pittsburgh has a better run game, the quarterback always looks better.
Right. Once again, there is a checklist that I believe that you have to go through to get max best out of Russell Wilson, whatever that is at this point. And it's going to be predicated on having a good running game. I can't wait to get deeper into pulling some cuts up on play action and under center type stuff. because I really believe they need that element in this Arthur Smith offense to get the whatever the best is in Russell Wilson out of him, and then for that to coincide with what we believe Arthur Smith's going to want to do offensively. Look, you can have some 18 of 25 for 250 yards and two touchdowns, and those be absolutely beautiful games for the Steelers offensively.
Sure, if you're running the ball well and finishing drives, you may take that all day long. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And just to look at the play action, just broadly speaking, over the last 2 years, Wilson 10th in play action attempts, Kenny Pickett 28th. Now, Wilson has played more than Kenny Pickett from a per start basis. Wilson is averaging 6.9 play action attempts per game per start. Pickett's at 4.6. Some of that is scheme, obviously, but I think it goes back to Wilson being more comfortable in an Arthur Smith system that's going to feature, we expect and we assume, a lot of play action.
Yeah, it needs to. And to me, I'm excited just because of the prospects of being able to see that kind of stuff now in an offense.
Yeah, I don't think Kenny Pickett's incapable of doing that. I just think Wilson, he's pretty comfortable doing that, and that'll help. But again, some of the intermediate throws off play pass is not something his offense was doing as much. And so that'll be interesting to see how he handles and approaches that.
All right. What else stuck out on tape?
I mean, I just have a smattering of notes here. I might be rustling papers as I kind of go through. And again, I got to watch a lot more, just kind of noting if I can find maybe where I put my conclusions of the two games. Trying to read my own handwriting from like 3:30 a.m. last night. It's not the best thing to do. But yeah, the mobility, the touch, the arm strength overall, knowing where his hot was at, I think that was all encouraging. Some of the far hash throws, the accuracy would wane a bit. They're tough throws to make, but throws that quarterbacks have to make. A little bit of the YOLO ball downfield. To me, it was just some of the pocket presence. I mean, a lot of bailing on clean pockets and spinning out and putting himself in harm's way. Not all 100 sacks were on him. And just even watching the tape, I probably would put more on the O-line than I would put on Wilson. But there were times where he would press and try to make the big play instead of taking what was right there, or maybe getting the, you know, just okay punt play, throw the ball away, whatever the case is, and say take a 10, 12-yard sack.
All right, we got a lot of film room stuff and analytics and stats posts on the way. We've got a long time before week one of the season. Russell Wilson will play his former team in 2024 because the Steelers play the Broncos on the road, so that's something to look forward to. Obviously, he has familiarity against the other teams in the AFC West, having played them the last two seasons, member of the Broncos there. So that's something else to add to this. But it will be interesting to see how he meshes and fits in with the Steelers, especially with kind of that personality that he has, and how he goes about saying all the right things. The rest of this offseason, we're going to have a lot of sound clips to play with prior to week one, and especially starting with his introductory press conference and all like that, because you got to know he's going to be asked, you know, has he been given any assurance that he's going to be the starter and along those lines, and how he's going to approach the competition and that kind of thing there. So anyway, where would you like to go from here?
Well, let me just ask you just briefly, and if it's, you don't have to give an answer because it is kind of in the moment, but we mentioned this in Matthew Marksey this morning has an article entitled, "Does Russell Wilson Spell the End of the Kenny Pickett Era for the Steelers? Do you believe the Pickett era is over, or is there some way where he can still try to reclaim that starter potential franchise quarterback status?"
Well, I mean, it feels like this is Russell Wilson's job to lose now, more so than it is Kenny Pickett's job to win it. I think Russell Wilson would have to really have a rough summer and training camp and preseason for Kenny Pickett to have the job. And then if per se somehow Kenny Pickett does manage to see the field in 2024, man, you've really got to finally see that adjusted net yards per passing attempt number get over six somehow, some way, whatever. I mean, it's got to be really, really visible that, man, Kenny Pickett can really function in this Arthur Smith offense and function at an above average level. If he's able to do that, he's able to do that for, I don't know, six, seven, eight, nine games, then I guess it comes back into play, the decision to pick up his fifth year option. But for all intents and purposes, something astronomical would have to happen, in my opinion, for Kenny Pickett to have a life in Pittsburgh past next season.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm with you overall. Not that it matters much, because he has no choice at this point, but I wonder what's going through his head right now. I mean, he cannot be happy with how the last, you know, since he got hurt, basically, he cannot be happy with how things have unfolded.
I tell you, this, you go back to the things Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and Art Rooney II have said. You know, Mike Tomlin was asked point blank at the end of the season, is your starting quarterback, do you believe you have the starting quarterback on this roster right now? And he said yes. And you go back to the football justice comments and all like that. Gonna be interesting to hear Mike Tomlin have some of those quotes thrown back at him now.
Yeah, it's the old Maury moment of the lie detector determined that was a lie. We're all jumping around crazy right now. You are the father, Dave. I don't know if you knew that or not. Yeah, there'll be a record number of competition words used during the summer from Tomlin, from whoever speaks. You're just going to hear them just yell the word competition like 500 times. But we all know that Wilson is the clear front runner to start.
Once again, I mean, what does it look like for Russell Wilson to not be the week one starter? What does that look like between now and week one?
What it would be is, I'll use the phrase, clear and obvious that Kenny Pickett had the better summer. Just in the way, like, let's say that they had gone the route that I thought that they would, of Kenny Pickett plus Mason Rudolph or veteran equivalent, Ryan Tannehill, whoever. For Pickett, I think in that situation, he would have been the front runner and he would have had to fall and flat on his face. The other guy would have had to look pretty good for them to make a change. So for Pickett to start week one, it will have to be clear and obvious that A, he's played well, had a good summer, and B, Wilson did not play well and struggled in the summer. If those two components happen, you know, concurrently, then there's a discussion about who will start. But barring that, I think Wilson is the guy.
I agree. Boy, what happened to that? You look what's happening to the what class would it be? 2021 quarterback class, the top who's carrying the flag for that right now? Trevor Lawrence.
Oh yeah, because what I mean, and now new teammate Mac Jones is what part of that group? Yeah, I mean in the 22 class is Brock Purdy is your best quarterback from the 22 class right now.
It just goes to show you, man, if this thing were a science and you could, you know, if you could just easily pick a franchise quarterback off the tree, you know, they would all be doing it. It's you know, you evaluate these classes each and every year and you think, oh man, this guy's gonna be great, and then you get two or three years removed from it and you know, you're back to, man, there's just a handful of true franchise quarterbacks in the league, and it's just such a hard position to evaluate, and all these years later it's not an exact science
for sure. Some other fallout of the impending I should say Wilson signing: Mason Rudolph, I very much assume, will be playing football elsewhere next year. Maybe that would have happened regardless of whether or not Wilson had signed in Pittsburgh, but with Wilson signing and Kenny Pickett still a Steeler, I assume Rudolph will be playing for somebody else.
Well, here, kind of slowly distancing from the Russell Wilson conversation here, this team's going to carry four quarterbacks to training camp. And now there's two in Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson. What do those other two look like at this point?
It's a good question. Not really sure right now. I do think a late draft pick is very much in play with a sixth, seventh round selection, just given the undrafted free agent structure that Pittsburgh has and how non-competitive they are for a worthwhile quarterback. I think a low-level veteran could come in, an Easton Stick type, maybe even somebody a rung below that, plus that draft pick. Or if they were to sign a more established veteran as number three, then maybe you go undrafted route with a Tanner Morgan as kind of a fourth arm, quote unquote, for training camp. But if they don't sign another veteran arm, I think a draft pick, late draft pick, is very much in play.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you're starting to see kind of the consensus that while this is a good draft class overall, that it's still thin when you get to sixth, seventh round, you know, day three type options there. So if there is, say, who's the Florida State quarterback?
Jordan Travis.
Yeah, Jordan Travis. If a guy like that's on the board in the sixth round, might that be a way a team like the Steelers takes a shot at?
Yeah, just in the way they took Oladokun in 22. Because again, just to briefly summarize, Pittsburgh, they do not offer partial base salary guarantees of undrafted free agent contracts. They only offer small signing bonuses. And when you're trying to compete for a top undrafted free agent quarterback, they all get $100,000, $200,000 of partial base salary guarantee. Pittsburgh will simply not compete with that. They're going to offer you a $30,000 signing bonus. It's not going to get the job done. And so they draft a quarterback to basically prevent them from losing out on that guy in the undrafted frenzy that happens right after the draft concludes.
All right. Where shall we go from here? I mean, because we're going to have all summer to talk about Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that is the other thing, that the world will be talking about Russell Wilson this entire time. Every news station and talking head in the sports media world will talk about Wilson throughout the offseason. Training camp should be very interesting of how just the frenzy is and the feel is. I really want to see how that goes. Maybe unlike what we've really seen or felt before. But that's my initial thoughts on Wilson. Again, I don't hate the signing. I just feel like the takeaway from the collective fan base after this year at best will be, yeah, it was better than Pickett. Yeah, this helped some. Now what? Where do we go from here? Because it's not getting us to our ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl.
Right. Well, at least they did something, man.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that. Yeah. But I just don't want the bar to be so low that, okay, right, it's better than Pickett, that you just step over it slightly, because that doesn't – it's like, you know, I'm losing the analogy in my head right now. But I the bar is so low, and even just stepping over it is better, but is it good enough is the question.
We will find out, and the expectation should be at least winning a playoff game.
Yeah, and again, I do think that's a big reason for this move. A lot of reasons, but I think that's one of them, one of the key ones, and that is certainly attainable, that they can win a playoff game under Russell Wilson. All right, some other news here. I'll get off Wilson for a moment. Other thought, though. At least there's an answer. Let's stop the speculation about quarterback talk. Like, it is Wilson. That's the guy. That Fields, it's over. Everything else is over.
What's Justin Fields' trade value on the heels of Mac Jones getting dealt supposedly for a 6th-round draft pick? Ryan Poles probably looking around saying, what's happened here? I mean, somebody's going to probably deal for Justin Fields. But it feels like, you know, that's only going to be a fifth or sixth round draft pick at this point. And all that speculation for quite some time was it might be a second or a third or something along those lines. And, you know, Schefter threw out the comparable to the Sam Darnold deals a couple of years ago. None of that looks plausible at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some team will surprise. I mean, Atlanta, if they don't get Kirk Cousins, then that becomes an option. But it sounds like Cousins has a good chance to land there. I'll say what I said, I think, on the live stream last time. There'll be some creative financing with Fields, with a future pick, conditional pick. There'll be some kind of funkiness to that trade that won't just be a straight up, you know, this year's fourth round pick or something.
All right. It sounds like Kirk Cousins, good chance. We'll find out here soon enough. Kirk Cousins might be headed to the Falcons. That would make sense if that happens. And you kind of wonder what Minnesota is going to do. But anyway, all right. When we left off the other day in the podcast, we had gotten through, I think, the Patrick Peterson news had broke during that show. And then we said, we'll get off this show and something else is going to happen. Well, something else happened.
A lot of stuff happened. Yeah. Peterson broke mid-show. Any additional thoughts on Peterson's release now that you had some time to kind of think about it?
Well, boil down to did you think he was worth the $6 million dollars? And the answer was no.
Yeah, clearly, for sure. But a lot of snaps to replace, and slot corner now as big a need as outside corner in terms of not sure who that guy is. I think Chandon Sullivan will resign, but he's clearly not your every down option nor a long-term option. So both on the table there. Following that, Pittsburgh also finally making a decision on wide receiver Allen Robinson, releasing him. I got the sense they probably maybe were trying to do something with the salary, some negotiation to greatly reduce that Robinson either just wasn't open to, or they just couldn't come to terms. But regardless, Robinson no longer a Steeler.
We knew he couldn't stay at $10 million, and he's not. That was the long and short of it going into the off season. You know, would he take a salary cut? You have to think that they were wanting him to go down to the minimum or pretty damn near close to it. And he probably said, no, I'm not interested in that. And they finally decided to pull the plug on that. So not shocking to say the least that ended up being the outcome of this. But within that now, I mean, you've got a wide receiver room that at the moment includes George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, and Calvin Austin, the third. And you know, there's obviously a lot of rumors still flying around concerning Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, we'll touch on that here in a second. With Robinson, you know, he did his job in 2023, supposed to be a veteran guy that could block, make a couple catches to move the chains on third down, or you know, be a possession receiver. He did that fine. The leadership, you know, that was the other reason. I don't know how much that ultimately helped. I'm not blaming him, but I don't think it really manifested itself in a meaningful way overall. But there was no juice left. The dude is a pure possession receiver. I'm fine with moving on from him.
I'm fine as well, too.
Before we get to Deontay, just kind of wrapping up the Friday news, Braden Fehoko, Pittsburgh re-signing nose tackle Braden Fehoko, who spent most of 2023 on the Steelers practice squad, old school run-stuffing nose tackle, was briefly on the active or 53-man roster, I should say, after Cam Hayward went on IR, but Fehoko did not play a snap. But with Montrevious Adams, a pending free agent, likely to go elsewhere, Boko could compete for that backup nose tackle job behind Keanu Benton in training camp.
Right. Look, that should be a 1 year minimum deal with him, and he'll compete for a roster spot. He was actually on the active roster for enough games to get a crewed season last year with Fehoko, but don't believe he ever saw the field, did he?
No, I remember that Raiders game. I thought he was going to play. Maybe he even dressed. He didn't dress for most of those games, but never saw the field. But he can run. He can stuff the run. Can't do really much else, but he can stuff the run. Was good in camp last year, but you know, we'll see if he can be depth for this team. All right, Deontay Johnson. I mean, what happened this Saturday? This was Saturday morning, right? Diana Russini mentioning Deontay Johnson on potentially being traded, team showing interest. It frankly was not a lot of new information from the initial reporting from Tony Pauline about a week ago that Pittsburgh was open to trading Johnson, but it is, I guess, a more known reporter that at least signaled other teams were showing interest. What does interest mean? It can mean a million things. Could mean they're just calling, could mean they're offering something. Who the heck knows? But where are you at now on Deontay, especially now knowing that they've added or will add Russell Wilson?
Well, my thought all along with this is that unless they get blown away by a trade off by you know, compensation for Deontay Johnson, they should keep him. And then you look at what Jerry Jeudy was traded by the Broncos to the Browns, and what they ended up getting. What was that? A six?
It's a five and a six.
Five
for
and
this
a
year's
six.
Draft.
I mean, if that's the return on Deontay Johnson, I'd rather keep Deontay Johnson, to be honest with you. Now, are there other underlying things that we don't know? You know, is Deontay screaming to get out? You know, it doesn't feel like it, but I mean, there's always a possibility, I guess, of that happening. Long story short, I think you can keep Deontay. You can still draft a wide receiver this year and develop him and bring him along. But especially with the addition of Russell Wilson and not knowing what you, even though you have all the intentions of the world of going into the draft and getting a top wide receiver in a very good class, you're not guaranteed to get the guy that you want or the top mm-hmm. two guys that you want. So once again, unless you're blown away with compensation for Deontay, I would just rather see them keep him.
I would too. If this is the year trying to push for a playoff win, removing one of your starting receivers with no depth, even though it's a good rookie class, is not moving you closer to that goal. I bet you Deontay's probably pretty happy about the Russell Wilson signing. It probably maybe helps any concerns he had right. about, you know, because I don't think he loved catching passes from Kenny Pickett, seems to be my read of the situation right now. Yeah, I said on Twitter on Friday that I thought, you know, the Jeudy and Johnson, you know, situations were pretty comparable in terms of their output and kind of where they're at overall. And you would have thought I kicked somebody's dog or something on Twitter. People really, you know, saying that Johnson and Jeudy aren't comparable at all. I think Johnson's a better receiver, but I think it's not by a significant margin. And over the last 2 years, their production is almost identical. And Jeudy's, frankly, is better. And Jeudy's 3 years younger as well, which will play a factor in things, both on, you know, last year, their contracts and all that kind of stuff. So I think you could get more for Johnson than what Denver got for Jeudy, but it may only be a fourth round pick and maybe something else, a four and a six, we could say. And if that's the return, I don't see it happening for Pittsburgh. They shouldn't do that deal unless Johnson truly wants out and you feel like it's going to be a big time issue. And then the news coming in this morning that T. Higgins has officially requested a trade. So there's a top tier receiver that's going to be on the block that teams may flock to instead. And so for that, for the great receiver draft class, or if you're a team, why trade for Deontay when you go draft a receiver that's younger and cheaper on a rookie contract, a 4 year deal? You know, I'd rather do that. So for all those reasons, unless the return is just outstanding, I think you hold on to Deontay Johnson.
I agree. And look, here, you know, reiterate what we've said several times related to Deontay Johnson. If you're going to deal him, today is March 11th. He is due a $3 million roster bonus, I believe, on the 16th. So if anything's going to happen, it would happen within this next week.
Yeah, so we will see. I mean, who the heck knows? Already a bunch of, you know, I guess I shouldn't say Wilson's a surprise, but a lot of storylines happening already. So we'll keep tabs on it. But if they trade him for pennies on the dollar, I think it's the wrong move.
I agree. I have to be blown away. I have to get more than what the Broncos got for Jerry Jeudy.
I agree. But if it's a four and a six, do you trade Johnson for that? I mean, that's more than Jeudy, but to me, that's not even, you'd have to get at least a day two pick,
Yeah, that's where my head's at.
All right. So we'll see what happens there on Deontay Johnson. Those rumors should persist. What else do we have here, Dave? I think we kind of covered the major news of the day. Let's run through my mock draft here briefly. Kind of lost in all this. Yeah, I guess I was trying to do a Monday before the news went crazy for my mock draft, and just that Wilson news came out, and that's dominating the landscape right now. But this was made pre-Wilson signing, but frankly, the Wilson signing does not change my outlook or my picks or anything in my mock draft. So 20th overall in my pre-free agency mock, and I went into this assuming they're going to sign at least an inside linebacker, a safety, and a punter in free agency. So just kind of a disclosure about how I'm kind of expecting free agency to go in Pittsburgh, big picture-wise. 20th overall, Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU. I know that people may be surprised to see a wide receiver not commonly mocked. Most people go in center, tackle, cornerback. But given all their interest in all these top, you know, first round, top 50 wide receivers at the combine, and then on the chance Johnson is traded, and even just, you know, failing that last year of his contract, Thomas, that's going to be a fun target. He's big, he's dynamic, he's athletic, still growing his game. It's going to be a fun target in Pittsburgh.
Well, here's the thing. They're probably going to draft a wide receiver in the first three or four rounds, regardless of what happens to Deontay Johnson. Heck, they might even get in a situation where they have to draft two, especially if they did deal Thomas off. I mean, Deontay off here. I understand the reasoning, overall reasoning here. When it comes to a pick, I'm at, how is this being received in the chat, in the comments?
Last time I looked, honestly, better than I thought. I think the feedback is pretty open. Maybe that's influenced by Deontay, you know, potentially getting traded. I'm not quite sure.
All right, I understand the thought process, though. I mean, it's a good. Right. It's a good class.
It's a great class, yeah. And again, I mean, they interviewed at least six top tier receivers formerly at the combine, and there's a pretty, you know, long standing trend towards who they interview at the combine positional group wise and what areas they look to address early. Round two, this one kind of go hitting the classics of a Steelers mock draft. Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, 51st overall. Again, I just feel like that guy is going to become a Pittsburgh Steeler.
It does feel that way, especially if they don't take Jackson Powers Johnson earlier. Overall, we expect this team to sign a veteran center here in the next week or two, probably on the cheaper side. Heck, they brought in Mitch Morse for a visit, and he evidently wanted a little bit too much money. He ended up signing with Jacksonville. But I think the takeaway, at least in bringing Mitch Morse in, and it's not a shocker, is that this team is looking to at least put some bubble gum over the hole in the boat when it comes to the center position via some sort of an experienced vet. So historically, it will tell you that they are going to fill that hole with a lower priced vet so that they don't necessarily have to pigeonhole themselves into a specific position in the draft. But regardless, barring this veteran center signing being $8 million per 3 years, yada, yada. Long story short, I think they're going to draft a center within the first three or four rounds, and it would make sense. It would be nice if they could get a guy like Zach Frazier at 51st overall. So I think that is realistic possibility as far as that pick goes there.
More Scott. $5 million average yearly value in Jacksonville. Is that the number on him? It was a two-year deal for like 10 and a half. Do I have those numbers right on Mitch Morse's contract? I was waking up to, I was up till very, very late Monday morning. I guess it would have been watching some of Wilson and obviously writing and reacting to the news there. But I think it was 2 years. I believe it was around $5 million per year on Morse.
I'll have to double check the numbers there.
So, I mean, I know age is a component and he was into his 30s, but that would tell me that Pittsburgh's trying to come under that mark of $5 million. Because if you're paying a guy, you know, $5-6 million plus, you're kind of really in, okay, you're starting territory. They may look below that to have some flexibility. If they do go big at center in lieu of the Wilson.
Yeah, two years, $10.5 million.
Okay. I mean, you could surmise that they want to try to get somebody.
$7 million guaranteed, according to Mike Garofalo. So I would imagine that first year take is probably $7 million for him.
Yeah, which kind of puts you in more starting territory, I think. And so you could surmise that Pittsburgh wants to come in a little bit below that so they could potentially draft a center and feel fine about starting him day one. And Frazier would be that type of guy. If they do want to go big at center, hypothetically, in lieu of the Wilson signing, Lloyd Cushenberry, the Broncos center, is the top center available, especially now that Andre James has re-upped with the Las Vegas Raiders. And so if they did want to go, you know, go for broke, they could sign Wilson's old center and Cushenberry.
It'd be interesting to see what his value comes in. I know there's a lot of speculation we talked about the article on by Daniel Salib the other day on the on part of the Texans cap thing. They have him valued there at 3 years, $27 million, $9 million APY. Is that a little, could that end up being a little bit strong?
I think he'll top Andre James, who got $8 million per year. I'll tell you that much.
I'll go under. I think he comes in under that. I just, right. I wonder if he, if his value might be a little overinflated there.
Either way, the question is, it's starter money.
Yeah. Are you surprised? I kind of envisioned Mitch Morse getting a little bit more than he got, but.
I did too. I didn't have a great frame of reference, but I thought maybe he would get more than 5.5. Maybe the center market's a little bit weaker than we thought, which goes to your point. Maybe the Cushenberry does come under.
All right. Long story short, we expect this team to have another center within 7 days, right?
Oh, yeah. They'll bring somebody in. But I do think they're looking for more of a cheaper option that can be a, you know, better financially be a feasible backup if you draft a Frazier or Power Johnson or somebody like that.
Right.
Also, I do want to mention in terms of things I got wrong, which is many things. I thought Wilson would play for more than the veteran minimum. I thought he would come in and try to get more. Obviously, he was angling for that second year, but I thought he would maybe try to come in more for financial obligation for the team that signed him. He did not. So I want to admit that I was incorrect with that assessment.
I thought that might happen as well, too. But, you know, as I mentioned in that show the other day, talking to Joel Corey, he didn't seem like it was that big of a deal. He thought I was making too big of a deal out of it. So if Joel Corey believes that, then, you know, I can see why it went the way it went.
For sure. All right. Round three, Max Melton, the corner from Rutgers, can play inside outside, but I would envision him primarily to be Pittsburgh's slot corner, which becomes a big time need. Post Patrick Peterson's release, he's physical. He can play the run. He's look what Pittsburgh's looking for. He's got some size. He's not a super small type of corner and a great special teamer with 4 career block punts. And so Max Melton ran well, ran in the low 4.4s or high 4.3s at the combine, productive. Max Melton could be a Steeler.
And you obviously have 2 cornerbacks on your mock draft. Good on you on that. And with Patrick Peterson going out the door, I think we're going to see 1 or 2 here sign in free agency, especially after it's starting to flood a little bit with a couple of these guys getting cut here at the start of the new league year. So there's going to be new faces, veteran and youth wise, in this secondary in 2024, and that's not a bad thing.
Agreed, 100%. I expect it to be an active and exciting free agency overall. Already has been with the Wilson's pending signing, but I think they'll address secondary through both the draft and free agency. I think safety more so through free agency. Cornerback, I think you'll see both. I think you'll see kind of a good even split between veteran signings and draft picks.
All right,
round 4, like Frazier, a carryover from my first mock draft, Gabe Hall, the defensive lineman from Baylor, more developmental type of guy. If you could sign a veteran defensive lineman and re-sign Armon Watts, Hall can take a year to develop. I think his game has a lot of things to work on, leverage and pad level, pass rush moves, but there is a lot of tools and traits, and he has the size Pittsburgh looks for.
This is yet another position that we could see this team address on the cheaper side in free agency. Jerry Tillery getting cut loose by who was it, Raiders?
Yes.
And he's a guy that the Steelers had interest in going to the pro day several years ago. Got to pay everything about Jerry Tillery, pending knowing what he's looking for as far as, you know, a street free agent contract fits with what the Steelers do. So whether it's Tillery, whether it's somebody else, I would imagine they're going to address that position on the less expensive side here in free agency and go ahead and draft a guy in these middle rounds. And I think they should, because they need some youth in that room.
They do, for sure. Maybe by 2025, Hall is ready to give this team meaningful snaps. with the other fourth round pick. And by the way, comp picks came out of Pittsburgh, no surprise, did not receive a comp pick. Their draft picks are now locked in. So the fourth round will be nice for 118 and 119 and back to back. That's partially from the Kevin Dotson deal, I believe. Other fourth round pick, though, taking Kyrie Jackson, the corner from Oregon. I admit this is probably on the low end of where he'll go. Could go higher than this. Might have stretched things a little bit, but with a good cornerback class, he could fall a little bit. Big, long corner. That's how Pittsburgh likes him.
Could you see maybe, could you swap Jackson and Melton?
No, I think Melton will be a day two guy.
Okay. All right.
That's my guess.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like that would be quite the steal for Kyrie Jackson there. But, I get the premise overall of adding having two corners in your draft here. So whether it's Kyrie Jackson or whether it's somebody else, avatarish, right? Long, having some athletic ability, someone to develop to go in the room along with Darius Rush and Corey Trice Jr. Yeah, I see where your head's at here.
All right, round six, 194, Dylan Johnson, the running back from Washington, reportedly one of the guys that will come in for a pre-draft visit. He's big, he's tough, he runs hard, he can catch, he's slow, he's the perfect Steelers running back, Dave.
I don't want to see this team draft a running back with two already on the roster, and I understand your mindset. Look, this is a tough kid.
Very tough.
This is a tough kid, and you look at the measurables and his overall ability and the fact that it'll probably give you some special teams or will give you special teams ability. I understand why you put it in there. I just, man, with so many holes in this roster, I would have liked to have maybe seen, I don't know, an off the ball linebacker there or something. But I understand. Not my favorite pick in your mock draft here, but I do understand why you went the direction you did and why you connected the dots the way you did.
And as you said, tough. He played with a broken foot the last 2 months, basically, of last year for the Huskies. And
good pass protector at its core, I think, too.
Yeah, he can pass protect. He can catch, too, because he played in Mike Leach's air raid for his first 3 years at Mississippi State before transferring. And he caught like 65 passes, I think, in 2021 because they never ran the ball there. So he can catch, and that's attractive. All right. In round seven, mentioning quarterback earlier, and before the Wilson news broke, I spent the entire time trying to pronounce a name correctly. I'm probably going to get this wrong here, doing it live here, but Talia Tungo-Vailoa. That's a pretty good pronunciation overall, I think, for a quarterback from Maryland, Tua's younger brother, at 240, again, to avoid the undrafted free agent trap that Pittsburgh will lose. They will take a quarterback to now be the number three behind Russell Wilson and Kenny Pickett.
Boy, you want to talk about undersized? Ooh, he is. You only got a seventh round pick invested. What other ways were you thinking about going there?
I mean, my others considered are inside linebacker Aaron Casey from Indiana, George Holani from Boise State, but already taken a running back, and then Jack Plummer, another quarterback from Louisville. I guess
you couldn't have plugged a fullback in here somewhere.
I didn't know what fullback to put in. It's hard to find that. Yeah. I think Bell from Florida State will go a bit higher than this. But I think Tungo-Vailoa will just make Russell Wilson feel tall. That's my whole goal. Have someone shorter than him in the quarterback room.
Yeah. Once again, you weren't going to put a punter in there because I think you feel that the Steelers are going to probably try to make a splash in free agency, right?
Yes. Tommy Townsend, come to Pittsburgh. I have a feeling it's going to happen.
All right. Looking at this at the whole, the biggest pushback I would get, the biggest pushback I think you will get is, man, I can't believe you took a wide receiver in round one. I believe that will be some pushback. The second will be, you'll get the proverbial no way Kyrie Jackson's there at 119th overall. The other pushback would be, this team doesn't need to take a running back in this draft. And then you had to pick the smallest quarterback to why I'm taking the devil's advocate side here, but I do understand at its core the directions that you went here.
Yeah, all fair critiques. I think Jackson especially. If you don't like Jackson, just go plug in Cam Hart from Notre Dame and we'll call it a day overall. Obviously, free agency will impact things pretty greatly. I like to do a mock draft just to be able to compare and contrast pre-free agency to post. And at the very least, we all kind of, at least I learned better how to pronounce Tonga Vailoa, because I really didn't. I always said Tua because I never wanted to roll the dice in last name before. And so I've tried to master it.
All right. Where to all from right. here? Shall we talk about free agency and cash and whatnot? And
you've done a lot of writing on the cash aspect and kind of a good way to try to map out how free agency might look and spending for this team might look. So take it away, Dave.
Yeah. Remember, once again, too, we're talking cash and not cap here overall. And what I'm trying to do, this is the first, obviously last year was the last of the 3 years of the CBA spending period. Teams have to spend at least 90% of the total 3 years cap in cash. The Steelers came in, I wrote at 97% the last time. I wanted to take a stab at what the Steelers would spend in cash this year in free agency, and it makes it really, really tough with this being year one of the new three-year period. So I had to have a starting point here overall, and my overall guess, if you will, is that this team will spend right around 92% of the $255.4 million cap number in cash when it comes to the 2024 Steelers. So if you take if you work off that 92% number of $254.4 million, that brings you to right around $235 million as a nice even number when it comes to projected total cash spending for this team. As this team stands right now, prior to the Russell Wilson agreement there, they're at almost $163 million in total cash on the books when it comes to their current top 53 contracts on the team. Now, obviously, that top 53 is going to shuffle quite a bit moving forward there. But once again, we need a starting point there. So nearly $163 million there. We know that if the Steelers stand pat with their seven picks right now, right where they stand, that's going to cost them roughly $15 million in cash related to signing bonuses and undrafted free agents, getting all those guys under contract there. So additionally, a $4 million in cash is going to be needed to go towards a practice squad. And all told, the grand total of all that comes out to $181.6 million, and that assumes, you know, and assuming that the total cash spend for 2024 will be $235 million, that leaves roughly $53.4 million left to spend in cash. Now, Pat Freiermuth is going to be a guy we watch the rest of this offseason, thinking he's going to get a contract extension. I have $13 million in cash, additional cash being spent to get him under contract there. So assuming I am correct on that, there's a lot of assumptions here, Alex. Assuming all that's correct, I have that leaving the Steelers roughly $40.4 million in cash to spend on free agents this offseason there. Now, remember, cash is defined that base salary, any signing bonus you give to a guy. And once again, this is not only the Steelers outside free agents. This would be any internal their own free agents that this team decides to sign, you know, guys like Killebrew and you know, maybe one other or something like that. Regardless, these guys are going to be on the cheap of their own internal free unrestricted free agents here over the course of this next week, specifically here overall. So once again, this is based on me predicting 92% spend of the total cap number in 2024. There's They could obviously spend a lower percentage than that. I think my margin for error here would be 2% either way. In other words, I think that you could see this team spend anywhere between 90 and 94% in total of the cap number in total cash. So that gives you about $5 million wiggle room on either side. Long story short, I think as a whole, when it comes to what this team will spend in free agency, both their own and outside free agents this year, somewhere in the range of $35 to $45 million, with the sweet spot probably being right around the $40 million mark. How does that relate to last year's offseason? Well, if you include Allen Robinson, who was technically acquired via a trade. That was $5 million in cash, additional cash that you spent on him, including him in the free agents that the Steelers signed last offseason that stuck on the 53-man roster. That number was a little bit more than $51.3 million. But it should be noted that last year the Steelers spent roughly 97.6% of the 2023 NFL cap number in cash. Once again, I will be surprised. There's no rule against it. They could very easily spend 110% of the cap, this year's cap, in cash. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think, especially with this being year one. So I envision, long story short, this team spending right around $40 million in cash on their free agents. And obviously right now this team has right around $25 million in cap space, which is different than cash. So it'll be interesting to track that the rest of the way. And once we get through what they call the CFA period of free agency, the compensatory free agent signing period, and that runs from March 13th to the first Monday after the draft, which is April 29th, we will be able to recap what all has happened at that point. And then we should get a lot better idea of what the total cash spending will be for this team in 2024. Now, let me make a note. Should this team trade Diontae Johnson here, that would obviously free up cash for this team to spend. And Diontae Johnson is scheduled to earn $10 million in cash in 2024. So obviously, if this team were to trade him prior to March 16th, that would open up another $10 million in cash to spend. So we would go from a projected $40 million in cash on free agents to $50 million. So I just want to throw, I'm not predicting that to happen, but there is that buzz related to Diontae Johnson that we did highlight earlier in this show. So I just wanted to throw that out there that, if they did deal him, there would be another $10 million in cash that this team could, obviously spend in free agency when it comes to cash specifically.
All right, good information there, Dave. We'll see how close you are, but I feel like you're going to be right around there, just as you were on that $129 million number that we referenced on Friday. So the question becomes, let's assume it's $40 million in cash. Where do they spend that? What position groups do you think they're going to target? Any players? What's your free agent kind of prediction outlook?
Well, as we rolled through your mock draft, I think you're going to see a veteran center on the cheap. I think you're going to see a veteran corner outside and slot both signed to reasonable deals in this thing. I think a defensive lineman in free agency on a reasonable deal makes sense. Where else could this team go? Linebacker is specifically an off the ball linebacker specifically, and safety too. Especially with this market flooding pre-free agency. So I think safety, off-the-ball linebacker, defensive line, one if not two cornerbacks in free agency, a center. What did I forget there? I say defensive line. I think I said defensive line.
You did.
I think those are your sweet spots here in free agency. I don't think you're going to see, you know, huge signings. In other words, an APY of $14 million like that. Could we have a new record that tops James Daniels from a couple of years ago? Yeah, I think, you know, you could see somebody come in, their most expensive ad probably be around, I don't know, $10, $11 million APY overall. But I think you're going to see, you know, a pretty decent volume overall, but just not huge number APY guys, if that makes sense. Because there are a lot of positions to address here if you don't want to pigeon yourself to the draft for a specific spot early.
Sure, I'm with you. Basically, across the board, listen, from all the roster moves, all the deletions they've had since the Super Bowl, they got rid of about, what did I have? Well over 4,000 snaps last year. That's a lot to replace, and they're going to be active. That's going to be a busy free agency. It'll be some, you know, lower and mid-tier type of guys, but they're going to sign, I think, 2 to 3 at least starter caliber players. In terms of the positions where they could challenge and surpass that Daniels contract, what do you think they are? Doesn't sound like center. I don't think D-line will get to that point. I think inside linebacker and safety were the two that could get you the bigger money relative to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Look, there's a lot of nice safeties out there that fit, right?
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Curl is going to get paid handsomely, but he's one of the top names there. Mike Edwards will not cost as much, but he's an option. You get a bunch of guys who got cut and released are out there. Julian Blackman from the Colts, pending free agent. And again, the draft is terrible for safety, which I think will compel teams like Pittsburgh to go address it in free agency.
I mean, if you signed a safety for $9 million APY, that safety at this point would factor in, you know, well within the top 15 around the NFL.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think even there's a greater chance at inside line, they're going to sign an inside linebacker. It's going to be a name, and it's going to be some good money. I don't know who. Might be a Jordan Brooks, Kenneth Murray, go through a bunch of names, a ton of them out there. Frankie LaVu from Carolina. They're going to sign an inside linebacker for, I think, at least what Cole Holcomb got last year.
Let's see what. Let's roll through the positions again. Safety, they're going to sign a safety. They've got to sign a safety. At least one corner, if not two, right? So let's say it's two. Mm-hmm. That's three players. A center is four. A defensive lineman is five.
Inside linebacker
six. They already signed a core. They already signed a core or going to sign a quarterback. That's seven.
Right. I'm on the punter train.
All right. A punter. That's eight. Where else are we?
I mean, you know, it could be who knows from there.
It could be we're probably in the area of $2 million or less when we talk about any other positions that might be addressed. Right.
Right. Yeah. I think there'll be varying degrees of contract. I think they want a cheaper center, a Michael Dieter type. I mentioned Hennessy, Danny Pinter. They could come in super, super cheap. They got hurt last year. In terms of the bigger money, yeah, I think inside linebacker, safety, potentially a corner.
All right. So there's going to be volume when you talk about total names. Where's my list from? Let me see if I can pull up this list real quick.
Yeah, it's going to be, by the time people are listening to this, we started recording a little before 10. We're already 11:15. It's about to be the legal tampering period. So probably already a bunch of new news is coming at this point, I'm sure. But that's kind of our pre-free agency expectations.
If you look back at the guys that of the free agents last year that stuck, all right, they're either outside or their own. Patrick Peterson, Nate Herbig, Cole Holcomb, Landon Roberts, Larry Ogunjobi obviously was a re-sign. Isaac Seumalo, James Pierre was a re-sign. DeMonte Casey, Keanu Neal, Armon Watts, Allen Robinson II. We'll throw him in free agency, even though he was a trade acquisition. Miles Boykin was re-signed. Chandon Sullivan was an outside guy. Dylan Cook was an add on the minimum. Marcus Golden and Quan Alexander. I mean, how many names was that in total, both outside and their own, that ended up sticking? 16 in total. And those guys, the cash outlay to those 16 players, as I had mentioned in our cash conversation, was $59.13 million. So you could have something that rivals that by the time the smoke clears at come start of training camp. 16, you know, free agents, either your own or outside. Now, of those guys, that was more than $2 million last year. That would have been Peterson, Nate Herbig, Cole. I'm talking about cash spending. Patrick Peterson, Nate Herbig, Cole Holcomb, Landon Roberts, Ogunjobi, Seumalo, KZ, Keanu Neal, Allen Robinson. So that sounds like might be about the plan this year.
I think so. I think it'll be similar to this past year, I think, with a potentially one higher signing than what Daniels had gotten 2 years ago in terms of the financial aspect, in part because the cap has gone up by so much, and that's just kind of where contracts shift towards. And Pittsburgh wants to be aggressive and try to build a winner right now, and their moves will reflect that. In terms of the re-signs, I mean, we assume Rudolph will not come back. Sounds like Levi Wallace is getting ready to go somewhere new. Who could be re-signed and at least re-signed here within this first week and wave of free agency?
For the Steelers, let's roll through them real quick here.
Because there are many names, not a lot of big names. There really is no big name, especially with Rudolph off the board. If we assume he's gone, there isn't, like, I mean, the biggest names are Killebrew and Watts and Adams.
Are you talking about more than a minimum?
Well, just all of them in general, I guess. Any unrestricted free agent, and also even Christian Kuntz, who's a restricted free agent, they probably won't tender and will sign back on a 1 year deal.
Well, yeah, they'll probably get something done with Christian Kuntz on a 2 year deal there. Elijah Riley, if you brought him back, that would be for the minimum. Miles Boykin, if you brought him back, that would be for the minimum. I don't think you're going to bring Blake Martinez back. I don't think Mason Rudolph's coming back. Chandon Sullivan, if you resign him, that would be for the minimum. Armon Watts, man, it would have to be, if you didn't bring him back on the minimum, it would be close to it.
Yeah, I think it'll be about $2-3 million per year, 2 years, $6 million, something like that.
James Pierre, that's only a minimum if you get him back. Quan Alexander, that's going to have to wait a while anyway. I don't think Marcus Golden wants to play again on a veteran benefit contract. Miles Killebrew is definitely a name to watch that you think they would re-sign. If they bring back Montrevious Adams, that would be on a veteran benefit contract, I think. Levi Wallace, sounds like he's gone, according to the interview on NFL Network over the weekend there. And really, I think that's it.
Yeah, it's a pretty uninspiring list. And Rudolph, that kind of discussion has, I think, become moot at this point. So, but there will be some re-signs. I think, you know, Sullivan will come back. Killebrew re-sign. Watts, potentially, probably more likely than not that he returns. And the others, you know, less likely, may wait a while on those names.
You're not going to dump a lot of money on your own here, long story short.
Yeah, which is another reason to believe they're going to spend more on external free agents, because there isn't that big name re-sign they have to make.
Yeah, like Ogunjobi last year.
Right. So we'll see. It's going to start here. It's already started by the time people are listening to this. It's probably a million things people are screaming at us about for not covering, but we don't have time travel capabilities yet. So that's where things stand.
All right. We've gone, what, an hour and a half here? A little bit longer. Hour 45.
Yeah, about hour and a half right now.
You want to get to an email or two here?
Yeah, just quickly if we could, just something short and sweet.
Let's see if I can pull them up here. I lost my spot here. Overall, let me see.
To close out today's show, I always forgot to say that, my line. Let's get to some emails and close out today's show.
All right. I'm going to have to sort real quick here, so give me a minute.
And no live stream tonight for those wondering. That's part of our regular schedule. We'll have one next week, which is for the best, because I imagine today is going to be just straight chaos. It already has been.
Chris Lookhart, I'm positive you guys will be flooded with quarterback questions, but my one question is, do you think this signals the end of Kenny Pickett? And I think the one thing I'm excited for now that this has happened, I can watch college football knowing that one of these quarterbacks will probably be drafted by the Steelers, and that is kind of exciting. We already addressed the Kenny Pickett thing earlier in the show. Yeah, I think you have to pay it, Chris. I think you got it. You have reason to pay attention to the 2025 draft class when it comes to quarterback.
Yes, I think it signals the end of the Pickett era, and yes, 2025 quarterback class, which reportedly is not great, but who the heck knows, that is in play.
Devin Beerley writes in, thanks for all the great work. I understand the Russ and Wilson move, but I'm still unsure if I like it. I feel getting a high pick quarterback is the way to build, and I think Mike Tomlin is too good of a coach to bottom out. He's had some bad quarterback play the last few years and still managed to get to the playoffs. I think in order to achieve long-term success, you generally need a high pick quarterback unless they trade up. That won't happen. I think that goes along the lines with what all Alex had to say early in the show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What was the? I was reading the news on free agency. What he said about trading up for a quarterback, and
he says he understands the Russell Wilson move, but he's still unsure that if he likes, he feels getting a high pick quarterback is the way to build. And I think Mike Tomlin is too good of a coach to bottom out. In other words, bottom out to where they're like top three, picks or something like that. He's had some bad quarterback play in the last few years and still managed to get to the playoffs. He says, I think in order to achieve long-term success, you generally need a high pick quarterback unless they trade up. That won't happen.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, but you trade up then. That's what teams do. The Chiefs traded up for Mahomes. The Bills traded up for Allen. The Ravens traded up back in the first round for Lamar Jackson. You get the point. So you don't have to have a top three pick to get a franchise quarterback. Those names I mentioned were not top three picks. They were, you know, 7th overall, 11th overall, I think Mahomes was, and Jackson 32nd overall. You know, you're still guessing. You never know. I mean, you know, Pickett doesn't seem like he's worked out, but that's where this team will have to go eventually. I would just say one final thought on the quarterback situation. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, it gets weird. It's been weird post-Ben, hasn't it, Dave, with Trubisky and Pickett and Wilson. Like, you just kind of start just kind of not flailing, but you're just looking around saying, okay, what's out there? What can we get? And it gets messy.
And everybody thinks that it's just as easy as picking one in the top three. And it's just not that easy. I mean, even look at Trevor. Is Trevor Lawrence going to be a guy that within 5 years seriously competes for a Super Bowl?
It's a valid question. I mean, he was billed as this generational player. I don't think he's at that level. Still be a very good, could be a franchise quarterback for them, but probably has not met expectations, I would say, overall.
I mean, it's you know, this isn't a science. Cameron Andrews writes in, hey, David Ox, love what you do. Keep up the good work as always. Questions, would they get any compensatory picks for Mitch Trubisky or Chukwuma Okorafor? And y'all may have already said before, but would you rather pay for a high-value safety, a high-value inside linebacker, or a high-value defensive end? Thank you. No, Mitch Trubisky and Chukwuma Okorafor had their contracts terminated, and because of that, they were street-free agents, and they signed with new teams, and they will not factor into the compensatory draft pick process. And looking long-term here, and the Steelers' unrestricted free agents this year, odds, unless they lose a guy like Miles Killebrew, odds are probably good the Steelers aren't going to get a compensatory pick a year from now.
They would have to lose him and then also not sign anybody, which is not going to happen. So they won't get a comp pick. Wilson does not factor in, I guess, although, again, they're not going to get a comp pick either way, but Wilson will be a release, and so he won't even be part of the formula, and a contract is light. I don't know how that all gets judged, but either way, they're not going to get a comp pick for 2025.
It doesn't feel like it. It would take something to happen. And no, where Russell Wilson being cut, he would be a street free agent, so he won't factor into the process either. What do you think about the last part? Would you rather pay for a high value safety, a high value inside linebacker, or a high value defensive end? I would say at this point right now, the way this roster sits, I would go safety or inside linebacker.
Yeah, I would lean safety as well, just big picture positional value, but it depends on the player and the situation. How about one other thing to mention, inside linebacker, Devin White. Pittsburgh had interest in him coming out, going to hit free agency from Tampa Bay. I mean, he was up and down, but metrically, for whatever it's worth, his coverage numbers were good last year. One of the best in football among off-ball linebackers. So We'll see if there's interest in the other Devin of that 2019 class.
All right. Anything else? We got to get out of here.
Yeah. Again, a bunch of new stuff has probably already come in. It's 11:30 right now before the tampering period. We tried to go as quickly as we could, but a lot to cover. So I'll be back on who knows when news, maybe emergency podcast, if not on Wednesday.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter /X at Steelers Depot. Follow Alex at Alex underscore Cazorro. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do and want to donate, SteelersDepot.com, hit the donate button. Also, if you like an ad-free version, SteelersDepot.com, hit the ad-free button. Follow the directions that way. We'll be back maybe tomorrow, if not tomorrow, by Wednesday at the latest. So until then, as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Alex.